This podcast is part of E2C Network, where we share the whole Auburn experience.
Where you go, Auburn fans? Welcome to No Huddle, your source for Auburn football news and discussion, part of the E2C Network. I'm AJ Richardson, and I'm also here with Jared Davis. We got a little bit of football back. It has been quite a while, Jared. Before we get into the football talk, how have you been now that we're back in the swing of things and we got to see Auburn play inside of Jordan-Hare this last Saturday? How have you been?
Pretty good. It's that time of year where, you know, you got to put on a long sleeve in the morning and short sleeves and shorts in the afternoon. So, you know, I'm ready for it to be the perfect weather. But all in all, man, doing pretty good. Football is back, kind of. Mm-hmm. So that felt good. It was just a tease because now we got to go several more months before we see them again. But, yeah, good to have them back. Good to be able to see some of the young people, young guys get out there, and excited to talk about it.
Yeah, for real. And what's interesting now, with you know, think about the last few years, they've had, you know, the USFL and the XFL. Now it's what's called the UFL. I feel like I'm not necessarily missing out on football. Like, if I want to go and watch some football, it happens a good bit during this kind of quote-unquote off season. So even though, you know, college football is only doing like spring practices, I feel like I get a little bit of a, you know, fulfillment from watching some of the UFL stuff. And they've so far have been producing some pretty high, entertainment value. Like, we had the guy who kicked a 60-plus yarder, and you're like, this is wild. And then, you know, obviously Auburn, too, with our crazy good, you know, kicker at the end. So it's lots of good football right now, even though it's not necessarily kind of the regular season. So, Jared, I wanted to kind of get your overall perspective of A-Day. So Auburn had, you know, 30,000-plus fans show up, which is awesome. I think that was the most since 2019. They did the same game format, I think, as they did last year, where they had 27 points up on the scoreboard for defense, and the offense had to make a comeback. And not to ruin it, you know, spoiler, no, I'm just kidding. Auburn's offense did win on a final kick by Towns Magoo. It was 58 yards. And won the game 28-27. And I feel like there was, I don't know, Jared, I kind of would get your thoughts on the game itself. Were there anything you were kind of expecting, anything like that from this A-Day game?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, you get excited to watch them play, but then you're, you know, you don't know what to think, right? I mean, to me, the defense, for the most part, dominated the spring game. Yes, we came back, but it was one touchdown and a bunch of field goals. Towns Magoo, I mean, him and McPherson, if they, you know, get on a ticket and run for president, I'd vote for him. I mean, that's McPherson didn't miss a field goal at all last year, and Towns has, what do you make, five on Saturday at A-Day?
He made seven. Seven of seven.
Okay, there you go. All right, so, yeah, they need to run for office. But, you know, I think all in all, I probably walked away a little more satisfied than I thought I would. And it's really, I think it's due to, so Cam Coleman is potentially what we thought he was. You know, you hear all this, oh, this guy's great, right? We've heard that forever. Cam Coleman, for anybody that didn't get to see, is Seth Williams in the fact that he can win 50-50 balls pretty easily, but he also has the separation skills. And I love Seth, no offense to him, but Seth didn't separate. He just won all the 50-50 balls. So Cam can do both. So that was very exciting. Another exciting guy, and I'm blanking on his name, was the transfer from Georgia State.
Robert Lewis.
Yeah, so he has a pretty good build. He's not tall, but he's looks strong, ran good routes. Gonna be a great.
And he caught like a 40 yarder from Peyton.
I think he did. So he's like a guy that seems to be very intelligent and will probably keep the chains moving with his route running. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. We actually do have some weapons at receiver, I think. And then on the defensive side, the whole defensive unit was impressive, but the DBs, like, forever when the ball's in the air, we pass interfere or don't get our head turned around, they were making plays, man. I mean, they were – it was impressive. The D-line even impressed the D-line coach. He was even surprised after practice. I don't know if that's good or bad because that means they haven't normally been doing that. But if they can perform like that under the lights, it was a pretty good showing.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like from this – I had two main focus areas, and we'll dive into them a little bit more, but is Peyton Thorne really QB1? Because the people who've gotten to see it, you know, the media members, the you know, former players, they've all, you know, you can tell Peyton has been QB1. So I wanted to see if that was the case, and I think that was very much kind of confirmed, at least to me. Now, is there still room for Peyton Thorne to grow? Absolutely. I mean, he's not going to be your Heisman-winning quarterback. That's just not who he is. But I do think Peyton, all in my mind, he needs to be is kind of a game manager that can hit a few deep passes when we need him to and break open the game with his legs, because I feel like those are his strengths, along with, you know, I feel like he's gotten a lot better with in the RPO world of making the right decision. And there were lots of times, and even Hugh Freeze talked about it, that the quarterbacks were making right decisions. And I feel like that is going to be critical when you come into, you know, an SEC game where every play matters, making the right read, the right decision. And so that kind of confirmed to me that Peyton was our leading quarterback. Though, I'll say this. I mean, you can kind of see the right on his heels is Hank Brown and Holden Gariner. What's kind of your thought, Jared, on kind of, you know, how far behind, you know, Hank Brown and Holden are right behind Peyton?
Yeah, it's weird because I think that from an arm talent, I don't know if any of these guys are going pro, but if you're like, okay, these are the only guys we have to pick in the draft, I think you're probably going to look more at Hank Brown and Gariner because of their arm strength and the way they throw it. But Peyton Thorne, what he has going for him is that he's been around a long time. And so he's seen more, right? So yeah. I think it's pretty clear, actually, after watching that, I think it's Thorne number one. I think you hit the nail on the head. Thorne, people get mad, right? Like, why isn't Thorne better? Listen, Thorne is not going to by himself carry a team. Thorne needs weapons around him, as do about 90% of the quarterbacks, you know, ever created. Okay.
Yeah.
There are very few that can carry the team. Okay. So Thorne needs weapons around him. Thorne now has a few of those. Thorne is still going to frustrate us. He's still going to get lost in the pocket. But the problem last year was there was no coming back from that. That would happen, and then there were no big plays because there were no weapons. That's not the case this year. You're going to see some big plays. Thorne, I will say this, and then I will be quiet. He handles the read option second only to Nick Marshall as far as, you know, Cam came before. So Cam, obviously, Nick Marshall. And then since then, Thorne handles it very well. I think we forget. We almost beat Alabama, and he completed 5 passes. That was because of his running ability. If you get the big plays, just a few in a game, on the passing side of things, we can win. But we're not going to win a championship, but we can win some ball games with Thorne.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a head coach right now, Peyton Thorne seems like your leader, despite, you know, how us fans, I feel like, sometimes think, we could do better. What about if we just go with a young talent like Hank Brown or something like that? But it is about winning now, and especially in your second year, because Hugh Freeze has talked about we're still in the rebuild mode, and I feel like the second year, less rebuilding, but we still are. I mean, there were so many spots like wide receiver, you know, the threats that, you know, Jared, you talked about where – we didn't necessarily have those last year. And that's why I feel like having those extra guys besides just our running back room is going to be so helpful for Peyton. So, you know, and think back to, you know, when he was at Michigan State, you know, I feel like the stat that people talked a lot about his one of his years was he had a great running back room when he did his best passing season. And so, like, you know, think about this. We're returning all four of our top running backs. And on top of that, Auburn has recruited a ton of wide receivers. Essentially, in my mind, 2 5-stars, one that's kind of like border, you know, high 4-star. And so, and then on top of that, we brought in a great transfer quarterback, wide receiver, Robert Lewis. So it's like, cool, you legitimately added like 4, maybe 5 good wide receivers to kind of help Peyton Thorne. And, you know, his stat line kind of showed that. It was 9 of 13 for 133 yards and a touchdown. And then had a couple really good passes, one to Robert Lewis and another touchdown that was for Cam Coleman. And, you know, it's just like those type of things, you know, the players that are around Peyton, I think are going to be very important in what makes, I think, what I think Peyton can be, he'll look better now that we've got these players around him. Because again, previously he had to do a little bit extra because we didn't have wide receivers. As I mean, look, think about it. You know, Jared, you and I joked last year, could we get 100 yards passing in a game? And it felt like some games we couldn't even get 100 yards passing. And sometimes we did.
So let me tell
that just shows you.
Yes. Let me tell you the difference. So you just said he was, what, 9 of 13 for 130-something yards?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm a critic, I'm saying, yeah, but one of those was a 30-yard jump pass to Cam Coleman. Okay, correct. That's what quarterbacks need. They need that option.
Yeah.
And every quarterback needs that. And the thing about Thorne, and listen, Thorne, if you listen to this, as a person, don't know you, probably a great guy. I am not a huge supporter of you being our quarterback. However, I do think you bring some aspects to the game that are, that others don't. Whereas that throw right there, every other quarterback I saw play A-Day would have overthrown that pass. Thorne put it in a place where Cam Coleman could go win it. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need. We didn't even talk about Walker White. People were going to love the new guy. I think Walker White is phenomenally talented. His arm strength is amazing. You could tell it. But he overthrew almost every pass. So if you didn't watch and you're thinking, well, what about Walker White? That ain't happening. I'll just go ahead and tell you right now.
At least this year. And, you know, honestly, like, think about this. You know, guys like Walker White who have come into Auburn early enrolled in January, they're supposed to be in high school right now. So, like, this is where I think – having guys like Walker White get a full spring in, he's not going to be the starter. He's not even going to probably crack the top three as in quarterbacks, but he doesn't have to. And this is his time to develop and get up to the speed of college, which, you know, that's the thing that even Hugh Freeze said about him. And that's, again, part of the process and part of the reason that you come in early is to get some extra reps so that next year or the year after, he has a legit shot at getting a starting quarterback position at Auburn. So I think that's, again, don't write him off forever.
No. If I didn't get to clarify, I think Walker White could be the future, but he will not be starting game one. It'll be a drastic, for those that didn't watch, it would be a drastic improvement. If he starts game one, we're in good shape because he is drastically improved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Thorne is the floor, and Thorne's a good floor. Like, the floor that Thorne has is good, right? If somebody does beat him out, I don't view that as a bad. A lot of people say, well, that means Thorne. No, we know what Thorne is. If somebody were to beat him out, that's a good sign.
No, absolutely. One, you know, if you think about the incumbent, you know, Peyton got, he was mostly our quarterback last year. You know, of course, Robbie had his moments, and, but, you know, if you think about somebody who is the incumbent, you would almost expect a lot of times for that person to win, you know, the starting position in kind of the spring game. Well, he hasn't officially won it. The race is still out, but he's got a lead. And I think for Auburn fans, that's something that you should be okay with. I'm not saying that you should be happy with Peyton Thorne 100%. I'm not happy with him 100%. But, like, if he gets you, like, a good quarterback, you know, 60% passing. He runs the ball a little bit. He's kind of a game manager. Honestly, that probably gets you like 7 or 8 wins this next year, maybe more if he's a little bit special, but like 7 or 8 wins. And then, you know, this coaching staff is, you know, again, this is the big picture thing. These coaches are kind of bracing themselves, not for this year, but they're kind of focusing in on the next year, 2025, and figuring out how are we going to make a run at the playoffs. Once it's expanded, you know, what does that look like for Auburn? And I think that is going to be our big focus. Obviously, it's very forward-thinking, future-minded, but like, and I want to win now, don't get me wrong, but there's a little bit of a, hey, we can win some now, but we're not going to win probably 10-plus games this year just with the schedule that we have, and that's okay. And I think Auburn fans, we just got to be okay with that kind of stuff.
I'll make one final point. I think we are better talent-wise than last year, and keep in mind, I know that not every game is going to go the same. If 4th and 30 doesn't happen and we don't sleepwalk against New Mexico State, that's an 8-win team. And
that is 100%.
And that is an 8-win team who could barely pass for 100 yards. So that's not going to be the problem this year. We're going to pass for more yards. Now, we also could have lost to Cal, right? So I get that, right? But at the end of the day, there was potential there, really should have happened there where we went 8 games. So if you need any type of optimism, the team last year that really should have won 8 games is more talented this year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I did want to talk about a couple other things on offense before we kind of move off. So running backs, we only had 46 yards of rushing in A-Day.
I can't believe we had that much. Yeah, it was bad.
It didn't even seem like the running back room could get anything going. And that's, again, with Jarquez, Damari Austin, Brian Battee, Jeremiah Cobb. And those are guys that, you know, last year we kind of rode them, you know, because we had to a lot throughout the season. And I think during this A-Day game, maybe that was kind of a little disappointment. Now, I know that wasn't the focus. You know, it didn't seem like we needed to kind of show that we can run the ball because that's all we did last year. But, is that potentially a problem with our running backs and maybe the offensive line? I mean, Jared, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, it's like, is the D-line great or is the offensive line bad? You know, I'll be honest, the only positive yardage plays, I think Damari had a decent run and then Thorne had some good runs. I feel like every other play was blown up in the backfield. That's how bad it was. Some people that are way smarter than me have said, don't look into that much because they've been running against each other in practice for, you know, a month now. And there, you know, there's only so much you can do with run schemes, and they've been seeing it every day. So the defense has, that is. So that's why they were like, listen, you know, don't think too much about that. It was so bad that it's hard not to be a little concerned. But, I mean, we've seen what Jarquez can do. We've seen what Damari can do. We got a glimpse of what Cobb can do, you know, Battee, those guys. So I'm not too terribly concerned, and I think we got better at O-line, brought back a good bit and got better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really, really concerned about that. But, I mean, you know, Hugh said he wants to be 60-40 run, right? So we don't need this to be happening in games, but I don't think it will.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, especially the way this season kind of sets us up for, I mean, we should be able to run in the first few games, kind of establish what we're going to do in the run game pretty early, and also test out the passing game. You know, we've gotten to see it now in A-Day, some of these new guys, Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis, and then we've got a couple more coming a little bit later, like Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons, and they'll be coming once they graduate high school. So, you know, getting those, you know, early reps during the season, I think that's going to be critical. And when that season kind of rolls around, you know, I'm going to be watching, what are we doing in the passing game? Because we have way more talent now, but we also want to rely still on our running backs, which I think we should with the amount of talent that we have. Let's kind of talk about the defense here. This is a brand new defense under DJ Durkin, and you can tell the aggressive style of defense that DJ brings. Lots of energy, if you've seen the video Auburn put out, you know, where they mic up coaches, DJ Durkin is a ball of energy and really reminds me of, you know, what, if you liked Kevin Steele, which I personally loved Kevin Steele, he reminds me so much of his coaching style of just bringing as much energy as the players, if not potentially more. And, you could tell the defense kind of fed off that. Just like any good of players, they kind of feed off their coach and what the coaches kind of bring in. And it's just kind of a good cycle of feeding off each other. What did you kind of think of the defense? I mean, especially the front seven, mm-hmm. I was very thoroughly impressed with the linebackers and defensive line. Honestly, a little bit more than I was expecting, coming maybe into this 8A game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the defense played really well. I don't know if it was before we started the podcast or during my memory. I'm getting old. But if I said this already, I apologize. The defensive backs, though, they turned their head. They played the ball well. You know, something I didn't think about that they brought up before the A-Day was that our linebacking group is a little older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe than we had last. I mean, Asante came on the scene last year. He was old, you know, in age, but and then we got the guy back from that transferred from Mississippi, you know, last year and was injured most of the year. So I think we may, you know, that the big thing about defense is, you know, having the run fits right properly and having linebackers. You really want a linebacker to be the quarterback out there because they can see it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, we may have underestimated the inexperience, and that may play huge this year. You know, maybe the linebackers were having the right run fits on the whole day. You know, I mean, that's a big deal. That can make up for some of the lack of depth on the D line if the linebackers are getting everybody in the right spot and they're filling the right hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at the end of the day, we're experienced at places we really need to be experienced at. And we have our most talent to me is in the DB safety area.
And that's
a good thing. You don't need to be not talented there because you'll get exposed. So really our weak spot is our D line, but man, they stepped up. I mean, they really stepped up, and it's going to take some young guys to due to depth to play, but the talent's there.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I feel like the secondary is going to be a strength, probably closely followed by the linebackers. And DJ Durkin is known for having great linebackers and be able to coach them really well. And I think that's already becoming very evident because I feel like we had, you know, good linebacker play last year, but it was like we had pretty much Eugene Asante, it felt like, and maybe one other guy that just kind of, and that was about it. And now I feel like we've got multiple linebackers that can kind of fill those gaps. And I'll even mention this. You know, one of the things that I feel like DJ Durkin does, and I feel like was a little bit different, he brings extra blitzes. You know, for example, the defensive MVP was Jaron Thompson. He was a safety, and he had a sack. You know, anytime you have a safety that's getting a sack, you know, you're kind of, you know, bringing some crazy blitzes. And if we're already doing this in A-Day, we're going to be doing some other stuff. We're going to be bringing some corner blitzes and, you know, make it look like we're not going to be blitzing. And then out of nowhere, a linebacker comes and blitzes. You know, that's the kind of stuff that will throw off an offense. So really excited to see how we start, how DJ Durkin starts, you know, adding in some really crazy stuff that, you know, if he's already doing this, I'm really excited for the future. Anything else on defense before we kind of round things out and talk about the local boy that had quite a day in the kicking department?
No, I mean, I think all in all, again, it was a win, even though that didn't show on the scoreboard. That was a win for defense. They did a great job. So I was super proud of them. And, you know, you can win with defense, man. If the defense is solid, you can win some ball games that way. Just, you know, play solid on both. You don't have to be great. You just need to be solid on both fronts. We're not trying to win a playoff next year, but if we can win 8 or 9 games, that's a huge step forward. And if we can get solid on both offense and defense, we can get there.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll kind of round things out with special teams. We've already talked about Towns McGoo a little bit. But, man, think about it. I mean, we've had Alex McPherson go perfect all last season, and he was out most of the spring because of a hamstring issue that he's had. But, I mean, it's nothing major. He'll be back. But in his absence, we had Towns McGoo step in. And he nailed 7 field goals, 26, 33, 34, 36, 43, 49, and then the game winner at the very end, a 58-yarder to help the offense win in A-Day. And also, you know, something about him, you know, he was like almost thought that they had him. And then I remember, I think it was the day after like the National Signing Day, and he ended up, you know, saying, hey, I want to be a preferred walk-on at Auburn. Whereas I bet if you went to Ole Miss, you probably would have gotten a scholarship. And, you know, just to think, we are so blessed right now to have Towns McGoo and Alex McPherson. And I still am trying to figure out how they're going to keep both of them on the roster, because Alex McPherson is only a sophomore, so he's got at least 2 more years. Well, I guess now he'll be a junior. So, yeah, but still has two more years. Like, I don't know if Towns McGoo is going to, like, just sit back and wait around. Maybe he will. Maybe he loves Auburn that much. I don't know. I'm going to be kind of curious to see how they kind of handle that. Maybe they allow Towns McGoo to do some kickoffs, and maybe he's really good at that. I mean, obviously he has the leg to kick a 58-yarder, so I would imagine he's also pretty good at kickoffs. And I'm thinking say Alex McPherson just do field goals or something. I don't know.
I'm thinking you send them both back there and they don't know which one's running up to kick it. And the other one just does a TikTok video behind the scene of the ball going through the upright. Whichever one runs, the other pulls his phone out and watches him like approach the ball and kick it. So,
oh, please, please. We need this in our life. We do.
Yeah, that was a great, I mean, the man apparently has more than 24 hours in a day because he's winning football games. But, who's the Ole Miss coach?
Somebody that names with Riffin.
Oh, yeah, Kiffin.
Wayne
okay.
Riffin.
Yeah, Kiffin spends a lot of time, and he spends a lot of time concerned about Auburn. But one of them was he made a post after he apparently thought he had landed Towns. And then, you know, I don't think you said it, but like 24 hours later, he commits to Auburn. So, we weren't letting him get out of our backyard. And apparently that was a good thing. I mean, I know we're talking kickers here, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think we're set for many, many years in that regard. And I don't know if thought about it, but McPherson came out last week and, you know, he didn't miss a field goal last year, and he came out and said that there's some things he needs to be better at. So
how?
Yeah, like, okay, so you're going to, like, your field goals are going to count for 6 now? Like, I don't know, what are you going to do, some backwards ones? I don't know what you're going to do.
What are you going to do? Mentality. Like kick right down the middle every single time? Like, I mean, I'll take that, don't get me wrong, but.
Yeah, I don't know, but he needs to improve on being perfect. So, you know, That's a good mentality.
Yeah. One final topic that I just wanted to hit on before we get out is, I'm just thinking about the transfer portal opening up, and I'm thinking about kind of, you know, transfer portal, as we know, is a two-way street here. You know, there's likely going to be some Auburn players that leave because they're seeing where they kind of stack up in the pecking order, and expect that. It'll open up on April 16th, and it'll be open, I think, for a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. But kind of on the flip side, I think Auburn can benefit from, you know, potentially, I'm just thinking about defensive line. Right now is probably one of our weaker spots, despite, you know, in A-Day, we've had some good success on the defensive line. But as far as depth, you need lots of depth in defensive line, and I feel like that needs to be a focus. And I feel like even Hugh Freeze has said that before. So I think you go defensive line, maybe even some linebackers. And if there's a good wide receiver with some experience, I feel like that can't hurt either. Any kind of focuses, you know, over the next few weeks when the portal opens up? Anything that you think the coaches would benefit from looking at that you think Auburn needs?
Yeah, I think you're right. We always need more at every position, right? But defensive line is like have to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go into the season with the depth you have right now. So you got to get some bodies in there on that. And then I'm a big proponent of the line in general. So I'm going, if I have any NIL money, I'm spending it on defensive and offensive line. Great defensive and offensive line can cover up a lot of other issues. So that's where I am going to spend my money and or my time and effort. I did have a question. I'm seeing a lot more UFO photos being posted on Facebook, and I feel like there's been an uptick since the emergence of the transfer portal. Is that an actual object that flies around? I'm just wondering. I feel like there's a correlation between the two.
It honestly could be. You never know.
Can we reach out and grab it with a net in Auburn, or how do we land that thing in Auburn? Just and get all the people we want off of it.
Somehow bait it to come to Auburn and drop off some really talented players. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just the portal. I'm just wondering if it's a real thing. But
yeah.
Anywho, that's that's my dad joke moment. My apologies, folks.
I love that. Jared, any other final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, don't think so. Just again, I walked away more excited than I actually thought I would. I was going in pretty just like whatever, and saw some plays we had not seen in a few years. So I think there's some things to look forward to.
Oh yeah, for sure. I feel like especially with, we didn't even hit on this. Well, I guess we did somewhat, but yeah, the recruiting piece of this, because you probably look at it and you're like, there isn't a whole bunch different than last year besides a few wide receivers coming in. And the thing I keep coming back to is not only this year with recruiting, but next year and the year after, you can already see kind of the dominoes starting to fall, and you can see how those players are coming in. And I feel like that's what helps us as Auburn fans be a little bit more optimistic. Is you're seeing the positives from, the players that have already started. Some of these, we didn't even hit on this, but you're talking about like a wide receiver and Cam Coleman that literally after A-Day went to go to his senior prom at the age of 17. Like, he's 17 years old, guys, and he's already doing these things. And that's where I think the future is very bright. It just makes me, that's going to help me get through the next few months before we have fall camp and get into the actual football games in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, we're top 10 for 2025, right? I mean, we need to keep, the problem is you're like number 8 overall and number 6 in the SEC. So, it's just the nature of the beast. So we got to keep improving. But perennial top 10 is where we should be. Occasional years top 5. Get there, you can win ball games. You get that kind of talent with the proper coaching, you can win ball games.
Oh, yeah. And you can start winning championships, which, I think us Auburn fans, we got a taste of that over the last decade or so. And I feel like that started to, it felt like kind of slip away. And I feel like you can start to see a future where we can start winning championships again and get into the playoffs and make runs for national championships and that kind of stuff. So, Jared, before we get out of here, how can the people stay in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook under my name, Jared Davis.
And you can find me on X at @AJAY_. It's always great to be an Auburn Tiger. And War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by e2cnetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more. To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagle.